Okay, 3 John, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Now, we learned that last week, that it is all based off of the truth. That's where the relationships are. That's where the fellowship begins. That's how we can have fellowship with one another, is truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Once again, you get that word truth. This is the whole point here. It's all based around the Word of God and the Bible. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, that thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of the charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Let me, once again, that's someone who is continually doing evil and living in their sin. That's not a person who knows God. Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. Wonderful little book of the Bible. Last week we learned about who we should not be offering hospitality to, who we should not be fellowshipping with. This week we see who we should be and how we can be fellow helpers of the truth. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Lord, we're thankful for today. I'm thankful for all the people that are here. Lord, I pray that you guide the words that are said. Lord, that you just fill me with your spirit. Lord, help it to be the words that you once said. Lord, we're desiring to hear from you, Lord. We need to hear from you. And God, help us to be fellow helpers of the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the chapter I picked for the theme verse, this one. You could have picked a couple other ones. But beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to thy brother and to the strangers. This book is written to Gaius. Now, some people say, well, was Gaius the pastor? Was Diotrephes the pastor, or was Demetrius the pastor? We're not really 100% sure. I believe that Gaius here is the elder or the pastor, and I believe Diotrephes is a overbearing dictator type member, or maybe even some type of deacon or someone who held a leadership type position, and maybe even some type of pastor alongside Gaius. Maybe I'll get the word straight here in a second. Occasion for the letter, and we'll talk about that later. Occasion for the letter. John is writing to exhort Gaius and the church concerning charity toward traveling Christians. The church is to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Here's the thought. Back in Bible times, things were a lot different than they are today. Now, today, we have things such as Prophet's Chambers or Fairfield Inns or Hampton Inns. But when visiting preachers or Christians would come along their journey, and they would be doing much mission work in that day and time because so many people did not know the gospel, they would travel. And when they got to a church, many times they would help minister the word. They would give messages or letters sent from the Apostle Paul or from the Apostle John. And they would do these things to try to help encourage the church. And the church then should help them along their way and be a fellow helper to the truth. And this is what John is saying to this church and to the church, that we need to be able to show kindness and charity to those that are true ministers of Jesus Christ. Now, there's differences between 2nd and 3rd John. The similarities and contrast can be pointed out between John's last two letters. The second letter was sent to a woman. The third to a man. The second urges against receiving false messengers. The third warns against rejecting true messengers. Anonymity marks the second letter. You don't have anybody's name in that letter. Some people even think it's more of a letter to the church itself. I think it's an individual. But naming of individuals highlights the third. You see here, he names Gaius. He names Diotrephes. He also names Demetrius too. And the second letter warns against being too soft. The third letter warns against being too hard. One warns against the deceiver, the other against the dictator. Now, the dictator is a word I've chosen to use. It's not found in the Bible, but it's one who tries to force and tries to rule. The name Gaius, I think you'll find this a little bit interesting. We don't always talk about the names, but the name Gaius was a common enough name in the Roman world. E.E. Bruce says it was one of a dozen and a half names from which Roman parents could choose from a paronomen for one of their sons. And that's referring to their official or their first name. We meet several times in the New Testament, besides here, the name Gaius. There was a Gaius in Corinth who was the host of Paul and while he was in the city, who sent greetings to the church at Rome. There was a man in Macedonia by the name of Gaius who was with Paul at Ephesus at the time of the Ephesian riot. There was also a Gaius at Derbe who was Paul's traveling companion when Paul made his way to Jerusalem. We don't know if this letter that he's writing to is any of those, but we know that a lot of those names are people who were hospitable or showed kindness to Paul and in the journey. Gaius is a Roman name with has many meanings, such as joyous, happy, and gay. It's sad that they've taken that name gay and they've abused it in the day and time we live in. There's nothing wrong with being happy, and they've taken that and perverted that to where if someone's called gay today, it means something completely different. The root of the word is in happy and joyful and exalted. It is one of the most popular Roman names ever. So I thought you would enjoy learning about the name Gaius. Let's see here. The eternal permanent value. Now, you say, okay, Pastor, why is this letter written? I think this letter is written to Gaius to tell Gaius, you keep on doing what you're supposed to do. You keep on being a fellow helper. If you look here in verse number 8, it says, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. What he's saying here is like, when you go and you help a fellow minister, one who is truly bringing the word of God, not those deceivers we heard about in 2 John, but when someone who is truly helping, when they come along your way, try to be a fellow helper to the truth. I think we're fellow helpers to the truth when we have missionaries come by and they present their works and we're able to take them on for support and be able to help them along their way, or evangelists or others that come and minister to us, true ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, when we are a blessing to them, we are then also a fellow helper to the truth. I enjoy the fact that we have a prophets chamber at our church. There is a little bit of expense that comes with running a heating and air when a visiting preacher comes in, and there's a little expense when, you know, electricity and things like that. But if we can be a blessing to those that are ministers of the word of God, it's a principle that is found here that is something that Paul is saying, go ahead and do. Now, this is not coming from a preacher saying that, hey, I think that you should help me. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that what Paul was saying to Gaius is when people come that are true ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we should be a fellow helper to their truth. Look what it says in verse number 7. It says, because that for his namesake, they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. They were saying, look, they didn't take anything from the unsaved. They did not take from those that were unbelievers, but God can speak to the hearts of a believer to help those that are true ministers and preachers of the gospel. And that's what John was saying here. We therefore ought to receive such. He's talking about those that are ministers. Look what it said about Aquila and Priscilla. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. All throughout the Bible, you see instances of individuals and people that would come alongside Paul or come alongside Mark or that would come alongside the other apostles, and they would be someone who could help them. Maybe they weren't the preacher of the day. Maybe they weren't the person that was standing in front of the crowd or the audience, but they were people that were helping the pastors and helping them along the way. And this is why the book is written, is to say, look, try to be help to those ministers. And I know Paul couldn't have done what he did, all that work that he did, without Luke. I mean, he was physically unable to do things. He needed a medical doctor. He needed someone who's going to maybe help see. And Luke traveled with him. Luke was a writer. Luke was the intelligent Roman. He could have made a lot of money being a doctor somewhere. But instead, he said, I'm going to go along with you, Paul. He said, and God spoke to his heart. He said, I'm going to go along. I'm going to leave my practice. I'm going to go along with you. And I am going to be a helper to you. I'm going to be a minister. Joshua was a minister to Moses. There's people who come alongside and helps those. And that's what I think this whole book is about. The whole book is written to Gaius. He's encouraging Gaius. And he is saying to us, even now, that we should be fellow helpers to the truth. We should be encouraging people along the way. And it's not just, even if we boil it down, it's not just preachers. It's also others. You see somebody out in visitation or somebody encouraging somebody else, go along there and encourage them. See if there's anything I can do. I see you helping disciple that individual. I think it's wonderful that you're helping that individual. And you go and talk to him. You see Mr. Don find somebody that he wins to Christ and is helping them with the helping and disciple him. And going along to Mr. Don says, look, I appreciate the work you're doing. You're doing what the Great Commission says. Let me be able to pray with you, pray for you. Is there something I can help you? Maybe I can't minister to that one the way you could, but is there something I can do to help be a blessing to you or to them? You know, that's being a fellow helper to the truth, being an encouragement. And that's what this book is about, how we are supposed to help one another, but application-wise, but this is referring to the ministers that have been sent their way. So we're going to look at three individuals. You have it in your outline there. Gaius, a delightful brother. Gaius, a delightful brother. You see the designation that's found in verse number one, who the book was written to. It was Gaius. It says, whom I love in the truth. I do believe it's an individual who John had won to the Lord. And you say, where do you see that? And he talks about in verse number three, I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. And verse number four says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And we do not believe this to be John's own child physically, but spiritually, like Paul would call Timothy. And so here's the deal, is that he's saying, it excites his heart no more greater thing than the fact that he hears those who he had won to Christ are now been discipled and are now living for God and now are serving and producing fruit. There is really, if you're looking for some great encouragement, boy, if you get the chance to disciple and work with someone and then to see them begin to win people to Christ, to see them come along and you see them helping, we know how much, I don't know if prime is the right word, but we know how much joy we see when someone who has grown up here or someone you have invested personally into their lives, and then you see them get up and say, hey, look, I want to be a missionary or I want to be a pastor. But not only that, but people who will come back and say, hey, look, I want to teach a Sunday school class now. Or, hey, now I want to work on the bus route because someone else worked on the bus route. It's not about what we would consider full-time ministry as much it is that we can be a blessing and a fellow helper of truth that, hey, look, they're being faithful. They got their spot. And that's what we want to see as we invest into people's lives. And that's what John is saying. The designation of Gaius was the fact that it was his, as a believer, that he is writing to. Now, I like this desire that you see in verse number 2. Verse number 2, I think, is great. It says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Isn't that nice? He's saying here, he says, look, I hope that you are as good in health as you are spiritually, as you are with your health. It says, even as thy soul prospereth. You know, for us, unfortunately, many times turned around. We would say, man, I hope our physical life, our spiritual life is as good as our physical life. Because usually our physical life is a little bit stronger than our spiritual life. Usually we would say, hey, look, you look healthy physically. Hopefully you're healthy spiritually. But what John is saying to them here says, look, I hope that you are exceeding and that you're great and healthy just as your soul is great and healthy. I mean, that's a wonderful desire he has. He delights in Gaius. He says, verse number 3, the reason why he's delighting, I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. He says, it got me excited when I heard that, you know, so-and-so had been to your church and so-and-so needed help and that you came alongside them and that you were willing to be a help and be a blessing to them. He says, that stirred my soul up when I heard that you were willing to be a help and a blessing. And I mean, I think that's good. And it really stirs my soul up when I hear somebody, you know, that they've been a blessing to a missionary or to a pastor or even to other Christian brethren when they say, you know what, so-and-so helped me along the way or so-and-so did this for me. And there's little special things that people do. Hey, pastor, how do I know what I'm supposed to do? Be close to God. Let God speak to your heart. Let God tell you what it is that you're supposed to do. Because sometimes people are, I'm amazed by some of the creativity by some people, how they give and how they be helpful of others, and they're just a blessing. You say, where did they get that from? They got it from God. They want to be open, and they want to be willing to do whatever God's led them to do, and God's led them to do this. Let's also look at the diligence of Gaius. Look what it says in verse number 5. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to the strangers. Now, he's saying he's faithful doing it, not to just those who know. And it is easy for us to help along those that we know a little bit better than to the strangers. But if we know that they're acceptable preachers and we know that there are people that are trying to serve the Lord, Gaius was willing to show to those. And I know there are certain preachers that we might know and we might even enjoy a little bit better than others. But if they're preaching the word of God, we need to be faithful with them. And look what it says in verse 6. Which have borne witness of thy charity. He says, they came back to me and they told me how well you treated them before the church. They went and told the whole church, hey, we went to this house and we went to this place and they treated us great and they were a blessing, they were kind. Bless those people that are at Gaius's church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. And he talks there about being a fellow helper, because for his namesake, they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. So that's, these people are going forth, they're taking nothing of the Gentiles, and they're doing that for Jesus Christ's namesake. They're not out there trying to sell raffle tickets, and they're not out there trying to get things from other people. They're not having TV commercials saying, send this to me, this and that. They're depending on the people of God. We therefore ought to receive such. He says, look, they're legitimate, they are concerned, and they're trying. We need to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. And that is diligence that we see, the faithfulness that are going on there. So I always appreciate the kindness that many times people have showed and demonstrated to the other people that are faithful ministers as they come here. I think we do a good job. But if we are not doing what God wants us to do, as a group we do a good job, but only way that happens is if we individually do what God's called us to do. Okay, let's look at this next man, Diotrephes, a dictator. Diotrephes, a dictator. Now, we introduced one guy. This guy is in contrast to Gaius. One guy who was willing to open up his home, one guy who was willing to be charitable, one guy who was willing to help them along their journey. They recognized him as ministers after a godly sort, and they wanted to make sure they could continue on. Verse number 9, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, now John is writing this letter. John, remember, the aged, oldest apostle, only apostle alive at probably at this point in time, writing a letter. He says, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. He had gall to say, look, we're not going to listen to, they're not going to read John's letter. It's not right. It's not important for us to read John's letter. Verse number 10, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. First thing I want you to see is Diotrephes' personal ambition. He was not a fellow helper to the truth. What was his desire? He wanted to be the man in the church. He wanted to have the position of a lord over the local church. He wanted everything to be done his way. You ever met somebody that wanted to have everything done their way at church? Don't be looking at other people. It's just, and don't be looking at me like that. But it's the idea we are one local body of believers, and we work together for the truth, and we want to be fellow helpers for the truth. But Diotrephes usurped his authority. He was pretentious. He was vainglorious. He strutted around like a peacock. He was puffed up. He even had enough nerve to say, we're not going to even read John's letter that he wrote to the church. And once again, this may even been a church that John himself had started, and John had been a part of, the one last apostle that was still alive, and he was even rejecting him. You know, we need to be careful. We need to be careful to remember that we are all serving God, and we need to do, like we talked about last Sunday night, and we're going to talk about this coming Sunday night, that we do it with simplicity, that we do it with sincerity, that we're not being led by fleshly wisdom, but instead being guided by grace. And we need to understand that God has a plan and a purpose, and in our flesh, we're not going to usually agree with God's plan and purpose. So we need to remember that as a church, this guy here was being a dictator, and he has no place in the local church for a person that's going to do things that are ungodly in the church. Look what it says. Look at his perverted actions. You say, well, what's so bad about this guy? He didn't want to read John's letter. What's the big deal? He said, well, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating. Now, once again, he is speaking foolishly against us with malicious words. Now, he is there, and he is standing up, and he is saying bad things about John. He's saying bad things about these other local ministers. He didn't want anybody else coming to the church because they would put him in his place. They would show that what he was doing was unfaithful, and what he was doing was ungodly, and what he was doing was wrong. And we need to be careful how much we speak foolish words and speak maliciously against men of God and against people of God. He says he wasn't even content running them down with his words. Not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, saying he won't even receive them into the church. He will not help them along the way. And he forbiddeth them that would. He would go to Gaius and say to Gaius, for example, and say, you should not be doing this. I forbid you to do this. And then it says here, and casteth them out of the church. He excommunicates them. He throws them out of the church. Why? Because they're doing something unbiblical? No. Because they're not listening to what he has to say. Now, it is a dangerous spot when someone cares more about themselves than they do about the body. They care more about their own feelings, and they had to have things done their way more than they care about the work of Christ. And this is tough. This is hard because we all have personal feelings. We all have different ways and different opinions of how to do things. I mean, we all grown up in different areas. There's certain things that we do here that up north would be very uncommon. There are certain things that they do up north that would be uncommon down here. There's just different things. We got to remember it's all for the cause of Christ, and we got to do what's right. We got to serve God in simplicity, with godly sincerity, being guided by grace, and not trying to push ourselves around on other people, not talking bad about others, but instead being a fellow helper to the truth. This man, Diotrephes, is not being a fellow helper to the truth. He's trying to hurt the cause of Christ. And it's people like this that turn people away from church, that turn people away from God. They all make their own personal decision. The Holy Spirit of God does try their best. The Holy Spirit of God convicts hearts. But people like this, those are the people that people say, I'm not coming to church. That person there did this or said that. They told me I couldn't have somebody over for dinner. You know, we be careful with the perverted actions. We need to make sure that we are all working together, never compromising, never giving in to sin, never doing things that we know is wrong. I think you know me better than that, but it's something that it's talking about is that we need to make sure that we don't have our own best interest at heart. It should always be the best interest of the ministry when it comes to things here at the church. And sometimes people, I think, look at things only through their own eyes. And we need to be careful with that. Verse number 11, we see some practical advice. And it says, beloved, follow not after that which is evil. He's saying some strong words here about Diotrephes. He says, look, he's evil. He's even saying he doesn't even know God. He gives this list and he says, I'll take care of him when I come. He says, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. Just some practical advice there. He encourages Gaius to continue doing that which is good. Again, he emphasizes that the one who practices righteousness is a child of God, but the one who does not practice righteousness is not born of God. Okay, let's go to verse number 12. We're introduced to one other person. His name is Demetrius. And Demetrius, we see a dependable brother. Demetrius, we see a dependable brother. Now, here's a couple thoughts. We don't really know exactly where this man comes. Possibly he is the man that carrying this letter to Gaius. And he's going to Gaius and he says, you do not want to take this letter to Diotrephes. He said, I want you to take this letter. I want you to take this to Gaius. And he writes this to Gaius, helping him understand that Demetrius is a person that is well received, well accepted, and is a person that is a person of the truth. That is one thought. Or Demetrius could have been a person who that Diotrephes had turned away from the church, or Diotrephes refused and maybe even kicked him out of the church. And John is writing this letter back on behalf of Demetrius saying, this is a man you can trust. This is a man you can receive. Let's look what it says in verse number 12. Demetrius have a good report of all men. Boy, isn't that good? You know, talking about all believers. You know, he's saying that he's got a good report. And look what it says, and of the truth itself. And this is where the litmus test is. Is he somebody who follows after the truth? And John is saying to him here, look, he's got a good report of all men. He's got a good report of the truth itself. And yea, we also bear record. He's saying, I will personally give my recommendation of this individual. And that's why I'm saying either he wants him to take this letter from Demetrius, or Demetrius is one, or maybe both, had been thrown out of the church or had been rejected from being a part of helping that church. John is saying, we know this man, you can trust this man. And he says, and you know that our record is true. And he says, look, you can trust me. And so I think it's important here that we understand that Demetrius is dependable. You know, it is harsh when someone treats and abuses you or doesn't treat you the right way. But you see Demetrius here, he's being faithful. He's going back to John. He's willing to do the work that John's given him to do, and he's going to willing to take this letter. So I think we see a dependable brother. And I think that's being a fellow helper to the truth is being dependable. I know some people are out of town today and they're vacations. It's summertime. I know people take vacations. I understand that. But it's just you being here is a help. Being dependable. You're being a fellow helper to the truth. You being faithful. And I don't think that's all you should do, but that is a help to me as a pastor and to other people that are here to encourage them along the way. And that's what we need to do, and this is our living truth today, is we need to be faithful in being a fellow helper to the truth. There are people that forsake. Like we see, for Demas have forsaken me. Paul wrote those words. Look, Demas has forsaken me. And it says, having loved this present world, and there are people that do leave, and there are people that just do not want to help along with the truth. But that's what God desires for us. It's found in verse number 8 when it says that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. We need to try to help people to get to the truth. We need to be encouraging them along, like you see in those sporting events. They're cheering their team on. They're cheering their friends on. They're cheering people on, saying, hey, look, they're coming alongside. What can I do? And that's what this book is about. He's saying to Gaius, look, I've heard you've done this over and over and over. And I appreciate it. People have come from your church and they come back and said, these good things, you took good care of them. You did this. You gave them enough to get them down the road and even a little bit more to help them in the ministry. And that's what the whole book is about. And I'm glad this book is here because it teaches us how we're supposed to treat those that are fellow ministers and fellow preachers, but also just to be a fellow helper of the truth. That are we helping the truth along? Or are we pulling it back? Paul, I told you earlier, Paul had lots of different people that he helped Paul along the way. Think about how God used Onesiphorus. It says, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. I know some of you had to step out because you're teaching or other ministries, but we'll finish up here in a second. This is just another man on the pages of Scripture, probably just one time. But you think of the thousands that probably went along and helped fellow helpers to the truth. You think about Demetrius. You know, we hear him in one verse, it's talked about him, and he talks that he's got a good report. But can you imagine the type of man Demetrius probably was? You know, he's a big name guy. He's not the guy that got the chance to write books of the Bible. He's not the guy that had his name splashed all over the New Testament. He's not the type of guy that would have been put up in the newspaper. Just faithful, dependable people helping one another to the truth. That's what most of us get to be. It's just a fellow helper to the truth. Now, is John any better? No. There would be no John and Paul's of the great outbursting ministries unless people are willing to come alongside them, help them. And that's what is important, that we learn to embrace the role, that maybe I cannot be the Johns or the Pauls. Maybe I can't go to the Africas or the Asias. Maybe I can't. But you know what I can do? I can be a fellow helper to the truth. I can encourage people along the way. I can do what I can. I can't do everything. But there is one thing I can do, and that's whatever God has asked me to do. So here we got, how do we apply this book to our Bible? Let's be a fellow helper to the truth. I mean, let's see those who are truly desiring to do the work of God, and let's do things the way God wants us to do. And let's not be like Diotrephes. And once again, we ask people's opinions. We look for advice. It is our church. We work together as a church. But if we try to force our own opinions, our own way on people, there's nothing godly about that. Now, there are times when a pastor gets to make the decision and nobody else gets to really put input because he has to make the decision as God leads him. I get that, and I understand that. But this man, Diotrephes, he was only doing things because he wanted to be the man, didn't care about what anybody else thought. He was more worried about himself than he was about the cause of Christ. And anytime we get that thought in our mind, we're not a fellow helper to the truth. Instead, we're holding the truth back. So we need to make sure we're careful with that. And that's my desire, is that I would never put my own cause or my own need in front of the work here at our church. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer.